You're listening to Downtown Depot, where we track the ins and outs of Waco business. I'm Austin Meek with WacoBusinessNews.com, and my guest today is Aaron Zimmerman, rector of St. Albans Episcopal. He's a transplant from the Northeast and a truly thoughtful and hilarious guy, so be sure to stick around and hear Aaron's musings on life and ministry in Waco. But before we get to the interview, it's the word on the street. The Deep in the Heart Film Festival made its debut at the Hippodrome Theater last night, and you can already see festival goers walking along Austin Avenue, flashing their VIP badges at the Dichotomy Cocktail Bar. Casey Turner, co-owner of the Hippodrome, said she's happy to be involved with the program that Samuel Thomas and Lewis Hunter have organized.
They travel, they're producers, and they travel all over and do film festivals everywhere and just kind of said, why is there not one in Waco?
Turner hopes the festival will be a useful tool in educating our community on the importance of the arts.
Waco is becoming culturally a lot more diverse, culturally, and art is part of that aspect. And we definitely, you have to have the arts downtown. It's critical for our downtown to grow.
Even if you're not typically a watcher of independent films, Turner assures that the festival offers something for everyone.
It's very entertaining. You do not have to be a film guru or like a movie snob to come and enjoy this, and or even like an artsy person. Like you can come and enjoy this, and some part of it will touch you somehow.
Other big news coming from downtown this week is movement at Mary Avenue Market, developer Marshall Stueman's 11,000 square foot retail project at 6th and Mary, close to the silos. The Waco Trib confirmed that Echo in Waco, an upscale Mexican concept from the folks behind Taqueria No. 9, will take over 4,000 square feet, making it the largest tenant in the space. Pie Peddlers, an award-winning pie shop in Glenrose, will open up a location at the market, as will the health company Impact Nutrition, which will sell smoothies and supplements. Other tenants are home goods and clothing boutique concepts. Stueman received nearly $300,000 from the city for public improvements in and around his building, including a network of sidewalks connecting Mary Avenue Market to the Dr. Pepper Museum and the silos. I'm running out of show to deep dive into TIF funding, which is how Stueman got all that money for his project, so next time on Downtown Depot, we'll discuss how one goes about seeking public dollars in Waco's Central Business District. But if you want to hear an interview with Marshall Stueman, check out WacoBusinessNews.com, where we have a Q&A with the developer from October, when he was first in the process of creating the concept. And if you do follow Waco Business News on Facebook or Twitter, you might have seen a picture we posted a few weeks ago of Mark Zuckerberg, founder of Facebook. Zuckerberg traveled to Waco to speak with community leaders about the work they're doing, and Aaron Zimmerman of St. Albans Episcopal was one of the pastors of that meeting. Aaron, you're a well-traveled and cosmopolitan guy, which I'm sure was one of the reasons Zuck wanted some FaceTime. Now tell us, how in the world did you end up in Waco?
I was working at a church in Houston, St. Martin's Episcopal Church. It is a cast of thousands. It's a big, wonderful church. And I got a call one day asking me to consider talking to the search committee at St. Albans in Waco. And as we went through that process, one thing led to another. It's sort of like dating, you know, it's like church pastor dating. We go on one, if it works, it's okay, not too awkward, we'll try another. And we found out we liked each other, and so here I am.
So the Episcopal diocese tells you where you go. That's how that works?
No, I tell them where to go, Austin.
Oh, you're one of the few, special one.
Yeah, a lot of people think that clergy get placed in different churches, and that does happen in some denominations. The Methodists do that. The Roman Catholic Church does that. In the Episcopal Church, clergy are like NFL players at the end of their career. They're free agents. And so we can sort of go where we want. There are bishops involved in that conversation. They can sort of say, we think that's a good move or not a good move. But really, it's the individual churches and the individual clergy meeting, talking, praying, seeing if we're a good fit. And if that works, you know, you go forward.
So which year was this?
This was in 2013. So we had been in Texas for 2 years. We'd been down almost for 2 years in Houston. And before that, we were in Pittsburgh. I mean, I don't know how far back you want. I mean, my story of how I got to Waco.
Yeah, I want everybody to know.
Okay,
Harvard
picture
graduate
picture
ends
it.
Up in Waco. Give me the start
the
and
late
finish.
1970s. The collars are wide. The hemlines are short. And picture Mexico City. before all the smog. So my father was a diplomat. My mother was working in various things around the city and in various artistic and cultural endeavors, and their work brought them together. My father's American, my mother's Mexican, and so they meet, fall in love, and so that's where the story begins if you want to go back to the prehistoric times, the Carter administration. But if you, but basically, cutting way short, raised in North Carolina, went to Harvard. That was a lot of fun, and while I was there, and a little bit before, began thinking about pursuing a career in ministry. That took me to Kazakhstan to figure that out, and then came back to the States, worked a few jobs, worked a little bit in Boston, worked a little bit in Pittsburgh, and ultimately went to seminary in Pittsburgh, then served a church there, and then a church in Houston, and then here to Waco to be at St. Albans 3.5 years ago.
So the tenor of the conversations regarding Waco in 2013 was markedly different than what they are now. What were some of the conversations that your wife Andrea and you had when you were debating whether you should make the move to Waco from Houston?
It was trying to figure out what Waco was like. All we had heard about Waco was David Koresh, and that was pretty much the only association we had with the town. And so we began looking at stuff online. And we began to realize that we had some people that we knew that were from this area, and so we began to talk to them. And when we came up here to interview with the search committee at St. Albans, obviously drove around and got a sense of the town and all of that. I will tell you that, yeah, you could not be more right, Austin, than to say the tenor of the conversation has changed. I called up a candy company in North Carolina last week to order my wife a Valentine's Day present. And when she asked where I was from and where to ship the candy, I said, Waco. And she said, oh, I would love to go there, which is not the kind of conversation that I had 3.5 years ago when we began telling family members and friends that we're looking at this opportunity in Waco. They just had very few associations with it. And then if they had any, they were generally negative because of that one big thing that happened to happen a long time ago.
A little bit outside of Waco.
A little bit. Let's be honest. And that's one of the first things I learned when I got here is that it did not happen in Waco.
Wacoans are very quick to point that
yeah,
out.
Yeah, sure. So I've learned. I'm on the inside now. But yeah, the city has changed remarkably in a really short period of time. And that's been fun to watch too.
So
I feel like I was the tip of the spear, Austin. You know, I'm not saying there's a direct causation, but I'm just noticing there's a high correlation between our arrival in Waco and the turning of the tide.
Yeah, I'm sure Chip and JoJo just heard you and the family packing up from Houston and knew they needed to do something nice to keep you here,
That's
retain
right.
your services in
That's
Waco.
Right. That's right.
So your wife and you have 3 children.
Yep, we sure do.
What are some of your family's favorite things to do in Waco? Places that you frequent, spots you like to go hang out?
We love Cameron Park. That's a big thing. We love the zoo. And that's, I'm sure everybody you ask this question says the zoo because we think it's one of the best things about this
town.
Do you
guys have a zoo pass?
We do.
The zoo pass, for listeners who do not know, if you go buy a zoo pass at Cameron Park, I think it's $75 or something mm-hmm. like that. It's for the entire year. If you buy it at the beginning of the month, you get that year, or you get that month in addition to the 12 months afterward. And they also give you free guest passes you can give to people.
Yep. This podcast is brought to you by the Cameron Park Zoo.
The Cameron Park Zoo.
Yeah. No, we love it. If there are any people listening that haven't been to the zoo, it is one of the best things about Waco. I don't care whether you have kids or not. It's a great place to walk. It's beautiful. It's incredibly well laid out. And, I mean, the first time we went, I was blown away. I was not expecting to see a Galapagos tortoise or two or three or however many of those enormous creatures they have. An incredible zoo for a place this size. We also love the fact, well, I'm getting away from the sort of kids. I mean, there's a lot of stuff we love to do with our kids. I've recently been to the, Skate World?
Yes,
rediscovered my love for roller skating. I rollerbladed and got in touch with my inner 12-year-old.
What's your ultimate skate song as you're going around slowly through the rink? What do you really want to be hearing?
I think it's got to be Foreigners, I Want to Know What Love Is.
Okay,
yeah,
I like
slow
that.
Slow it down a little bit. And I want you to show me.
I need you to show me.
So, I mean, there's a lot of great stuff. I think what we love about Waco, not only are there a ton of great things for kids to do, Mayborn obviously on the top of the list as well. Even going to Baylor and just walking around and playing in that those fountains and creeks and just small acts of vandalism. I'm kidding. That's just seeing if you're listening, people. But going walking around there. But the thing that we love about all this stuff is that we can do it in a reasonable amount of time and dealing with relatively sane people. I just had to go back to Houston, drive through Houston a week ago, and it reminded me why we love Waco, which is that everything in life that you'd sort of want to do, you can do here without losing your cool and you know, developing frown lines just by leaving your house. So we love it around here.
Well, one of the reasons why I wanted to have you on the show, Aaron, is that you, in your position as rector at St. Albans,
woo,
are very involved with the community.
Yeah,
that is the goal of churches, is to serve the community in which they are placed. What are some of the community building initiatives that St. Albans is involved in that you're pretty proud of?
Well, yeah, and just on that note, one of the things that we've loved about being here is how relatively easy it is to get involved, and how you can have, I think, a pretty significant impact. A community this size, it seems like a lot of the players kind of know each other and are able to work together, and I think all kind of pull in the same direction. So there's a couple of things that I found at St. Albans when I arrived that I think are fantastic, and they continue. And then there's some other initiatives we've started since I've been here. So folks who've listened who know this town, have known it for a while, know that St. Albans used to have a school. And that closed in 2006, 2007, and transitioned from a school to an outreach center. And so those rooms in that building are now used for various organizations throughout the community. We, you know, you think about spaces that are entrepreneurial incubators to let kind of those new initiatives grow. Our building essentially is an incubator or a holding tank, a greenhouse, if you will, for different community organizations. So we've hosted at various times Campfire, Avance, and some other programs for children in the community coming from some areas in town that were struggling. So those are things that we've done. We also host the Central Texas String Academy, which is a music school for children, Suzuki Method String Academy. We host meetings for the Community Race Relations Coalition. We also, one of our recent partners has been the SkillPoint Alliance, which does workforce development, helping folks who are sort of hard to employ, difficult to employ, or just have a hard time getting into the job market. These are folks that are either coming out of a low educational background or recently released felons, people like that. Entering the job market, give them free training for things that gives them a career path, whether it's welding or HVAC work or CNA, so that kind of stuff.
Are they taught soft skills through that as well? Mm-hmm. This is how you interview. This is what you should dress like.
Yeah, exactly. So SkillPoint has been around in Austin for over 20 years, and they've just recently come to Waco and said, hey, you got a lot of room. We need room for our classes. Can you provide space? And so we've been really happy to partner with them to, yeah, and they go through, people have to interview to get into the classes, and then they do all kinds of that kind of soft skill training you talked about. And we've graduated, I think, now 3 classes out of St. Albans, and we've been so excited to do that. And one of the new organizations we'll be hosting coming up in the next few weeks is the free legal clinic that has come out of Mission Waco, and they'll be doing some work again using our space. So that's how we like to build the community, and say, look, we have this incredible space with a lot of room, and we'd love to partner with you and help you help your organization succeed, and build the community that way.
You're listening to Downtown Depot on 103.3 FM KWBU. I'm speaking with Aaron Zimmerman, rector of St. Albans. There's a ton of community work that you guys have been doing in the current space, but the church has recognized we really need some more room if we want to expand on these programs and continue to build in the community. What are some of the plans for St. Albans expansion?
We're going to build a giant sort of glass space that looks like you. right there on Waco Drive. We feel like that's the best way to reach out.
Of course.
No, so we began looking at our campus a few years ago, realizing that, like many churches, it was built over time. Kind of, you build one building, then you add on to it, then you add on to it, and then you stick something on the side. And there was never that, let's take a step back and look at it from the 30,000-foot level and see what should our campus look like, as opposed to what have we pieced together over time. And as we saw two things happening, the church was growing in the past 4 years, growing 3 to 8% a year. And before that, in the early 2000s, that trend had started then. So we saw the church growing and we saw the community growing. And we said, let's look at our campus and see, does it allow us to continue to do what we've been doing for 70 years, welcoming new people, helping them get connected in the community, helping them feel a little, you know, I said earlier, foreigner said, I want to know what love is, and I think love is from God. And so we want people to connect with that. And then send them out into the world to share that with other people through acts of service and all kinds of good stuff. So we are looking at building a new structure that is kind of a giant, we call it the parish hall, but you fellowship hall, kind of a big meeting space, as well as state-of-the-art children and youth facility, updating our office space, and ultimately providing more conference rooms and other rooms for community organizations as well.
And this is right along Waco Drive.
Mm-hmm. We are on Waco Drive, taking up most of that block between 29th and 30th Street.
So in terms of the programming that you guys have at St. Albans, there's a lot of things for reaching out to making space for AA, for NA. One thing that I really love that St. Albans does is an initiative called The Cove.
Mm-hmm.
Can you speak a little bit about what The Cove is attempting to do for young students?
Yeah, so people like Bonnie Kane and other folks at Waco ISD realize that there are hundreds and hundreds of kids in Waco ISD who are essentially homeless. We think of homelessness as people sleeping on benches, but what they've realized is that a lot of these kids, they don't have a physical address with their family, but they do have places to crash. There's couches. Relatives have homes where they can spend the night. But that real key time between the hours of, say, 3 p.m. to 10 p.m., when school lets out, to wherever you go, to wherever you're staying, those hours are key hours for kids. And so they had an idea that they'd seen work in some other communities similar to ours to create a space, kind of a nurturing space for kids who are homeless. And it's come to fruition. It's called The Cove. It's on Washington Avenue. And they reached out. I think Waco ISD does a great job of partnering with churches and other local organizations. And so that's how we kind of heard about them. We have a lot of educators at St. Albans, and we knew that this was working. A lot of people who are working with Waco ISD as well. And so they came and said, can you all help? Want some volunteers? And my wife, Andrea, actually knew some of the people who are getting involved in this, and this is something she's really passionate about as well. And so her work, she was able to basically design their main kind of living room and dining room. She's got a design background and was just excited and passionate to do that with them. So everything from planning the layout of the room and picking the furniture and what goes on the walls. And she really had this idea of making the place not look like anything resembling a shelter.
It doesn't look like a homeless shelter. It's a place where you would want to go and spend time.
Yeah, I feel like when I go in there, I'm like, am I cool enough to be here? And the answer is no. But there's a lot of places that provide social services that look like places that provide social services.
Sure.
It's donated furniture. It's, you know, kind of bland paint and all that sort of stuff. And that's not what this looks like at all. And so she designed it. But in designing it, she also knew that she needed a lot of help of people. So a whole group of St. Albans folks went over there with other community organizations and other volunteers. About 20 of us from the church went and did all the work to set up this room. Everything from hanging the curtain rods and putting the curtains up to assembling all the furniture and getting it all arranged. And so that was a kind of a one-time project. But what that led to was some relationships between the Cove and St. Albans. So there's a retired eye doctor who's a member of St. Albans, and now she can go over and do free eye exams for some of the young adults who are using their services and staying there. It's those kinds of ongoing. There's another person at St. Albans who is a caterer, and so she now does a meal once a month for the folks at the Cove. And we've had some representatives from the Cove come and speak to Sunday school classes to just to educate people what it is and what's going on. So those are some of the ways we've gotten involved there.
And there's one program in particular that St. Albans puts on, Theology on Tap. You guys host it downtown at Barnett's Pub. And I've loved attending that. It's been really successful. The community buys in. Where did the genesis for Theology on Tap come from?
When I lived in Boston in the early 2000s, I knew of a church downtown that was doing it. And every year they'd do different series, different topics, different speakers. And I went a few times and thought it was fantastic. And so when I got ordained and began working in churches, I started doing this program. And it's been fun and wonderful everywhere I've done it. So the idea is you go to a local pub, watering hole, bar, and which, despite people's discomfort with maybe church people going in a bar, Jesus invented it, not me. So if you have an issue, take it up with him. He was the one always hanging out with publicans and sinners, as the old King James says. But we go in this bar, we pick a topic, we bring in speakers. Last year we did philosophy, this year was science, and we took our theme from Thomas Dolby's 1980s classic, She Blinded Me with Science. And it was fantastic. We had people who are research scientists, people that are more in the history or philosophy of science field. And so there we are in the back of Barnett's Pub, and with 30, 40, 50, 55 people packing in the space to talk about God and science. And what I loved about it is that a lot of times churches are sitting in their church building saying, hey, come to us, we have something, come to us, come to us, trying to pull people in. But it turns out that there's a lot of people who will never come to church who are out in the community sinning. And so we want to reach them where they are. Of course, nobody at Barnett's is a sinner. It's a wonderful place. We love the management there. We love the people there. We couldn't have been happier with how they hosted us. But what's funny is we would have people begin to kind of, you notice they start inching closer, listening, kind of turning their ear, trying to hear what's going on. And
well,
that was
generally
a lot of fun.
Happens during the trivia night that Barnett's does. And right. So you'll have the main event going on here and then the people playing trivia. But you can see that they're writing down trivia and they're kind of turning their ears over, trying to catch what the speaker says.
And we were amazed. The science and religion thing turned out to be a big hit. Apparently there are a lot of people interested in those questions.
Who'd have thunk?
I know. And folks that are looking for, you know, there's lots of different ways Christian people have thought about science. And and I think, though, there's some that tend to get the spotlight, and we wanted to present some different views and from people who are actual church-going Christians who are also actual scientists and talk about how they blend those things together. So that was a lot of fun, and we love being able to support Barnett's. And I think that's part of the vision that we have at St. Albans is that we are not trying to reinvent anything that's already happening in the city, but we want to support places where good stuff is already happening. Barnett's is a great example of all the different community things they host, and we do the same thing at St. Albans, and I think it's fantastic when we can come together and work together, which if you think about Waco 50 years ago, that kind of event probably never would have happened. And it's exciting that we're at a time now where there's, gosh, that Waco is host of one of the premier whiskey distilleries in the world, some of whose employees attend St. Albans, and yet we're also this place with this big Baptist university. I love the juxtaposition and the irony of that. It's a lot of fun, and it's a good place to be. And that, just like I love wearing my clerical collar and going into a bar and having people do a double take, choke on their beer a little bit, and then have some fantastic conversations. It's a lot of fun.
And a really cool way to integrate Baylor as well. I mean, a number of the speakers were Baylor professors.
Mm-hmm.
And really cool, you had talked about your family loving to go over to Baylor, but sometimes you kind of forget that there's this beautiful trail system on Baylor campus.
Yeah.
But a really great way to get some of that Baylor knowledge on the other side of 35 and teaching that to the lay people in
Waco.
That's
right. That's right. And we have Baylor faculty as speakers at Theology on Tap, Baylor students, grad students, and undergrads come. I think a university town guarantees you that there's always going to be people with a high level of intellectual curiosity that are asking questions, and that's been one of the most delightful things to find in this town the 3.5 years that we've been here. Is the level of people who are asking good questions. And we think there's lots of places where you can go as you search for answers, but we're happy that St. Albans is one of those places.
Especially for Texans, Episcopalianism is a little bit foreign. I didn't grow up Episcopalian, but now that I've moved to Waco and started attending St. Albans, the thing that's impressed me is knowing that the service that I encounter at St. Albans is essentially the same service that's happening at St. Albans in Nimbiti, Malawi?
Yeah.
Is that where the church plant
that's
is?
That's right. We have a sister parish over there.
But so just the fact that the tradition doesn't change, mm-hmm. you know, like the core tenets of the faith doesn't change. And particularly what I like about the Episcopal service is that the focus, rather than having all these things leading up to the big sermon, I mean, I wouldn't say you're an afterthought in the service, but really your words are not as important as the grand finale, which is communion.
Right, that's right. And that's something that our tradition tries to do. There's some traditions that are more kind of focused on the sacrament and more on communion. There's some that are more on the word, that the preached word is going to be the focus of the thing. That's the main course and everything else is an appetizer. For us in the Anglican tradition, we want to make sure that we keep both of those things and really try to have them be central. So you're going to get, if I've gotten my beauty rest and said my prayers and all that sort of stuff, you're going to have something that connects with you and helps in the sermon that's scriptural and fresh. But then you'll also have the whole service itself, the liturgy, which, as you said, is the same everywhere. And I'll go ahead and say that, you know, you are lucky in many ways, blessed to be a Texan, because not only do you have all the benefits you already know that come with that, but you also are part of probably one of the strongest and largest Episcopal dioceses in the country, with a lot of great churches from Houston to Galveston to Austin to Tyler, Beaumont, and Waco, Texas.
Well, Aaron, Waco, Texas is so happy that you chose, or I suppose the diocese chose.
God chose.
God chose to send you and your wife and your 3 adorable children here to Waco. Thank you for the community work that you're doing there at St. Albans. The listeners at Downtown Depot are aware of what you're doing, and we want to support you. So thank you so much for your time and being a guest here.
Thanks, Austin.
And that's our show for this week. If your friends weren't able to listen live here on KWBU, they can still hear the episode through the podcast app or on the NPR One app. I'm your host, Austin Meek, and you've been listening to Downtown Depot, where we track the ins and outs of Waco business.